Good morning, everyone. If you would please stay with me in your Bibles to 2 Timothy chapter 4. We'll be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 4 in just a few moments. As mentioned earlier this morning, we do have a good number, and I do thank each and every one of you for being out. Glad to see a few people that have been back from traveling. Glad that you're home safe. For those that are continuing to travel for work or whatever it might be, let's keep them in our prayers. So glad to see each and every one of you this morning. If you're visiting with us, thank you so much for being here. We're glad you're here, and we welcome you back anytime that you can be here. Today is the day that many in our nation will be reflecting on. Tragic events that occurred 10 years ago to the day. We understand that today is an anniversary of the senseless death of thousands of Americans by the attack of simply those that don't believe in the same things that we believe in Christianity. Certainly that's on our minds as we see these things on television, in the newspapers, certainly on the internet, everywhere we look, and certainly that's on our minds today and probably has been for the last few weeks leading up to today. But I'm not interested in speaking on the differences in religion this morning. What I thought about, probably not the day that it happened 10 years ago, but now that some time has passed, and as I think about these things, as I see them on television, the thing that I really begin to focus on is not necessarily the things that happen, not the tragic events of terrorists attacking our nation. What I think about is I think about how many souls were possibly lost on that day. How many of those people that died in that attack were ready to die? We're called as Christians to be ready to die any day. It does not matter what the event could be. We could very easily, the last day of our life could be today because of something we do in our own backyard. We can injure ourselves. There could be an accident out on the road. We could have a health issue that we're not even aware of. And today could be the last day of our lives. Or it could be in a terrorist attack on our nation. It could be in the very cities that we live. Or it could be the day of judgment. Whatever it is, we are called to be ready. I want us to look this morning and take some thoughts and study from 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because this is a time in Paul's life where he knows. As we read around 2 Timothy chapter 4, we read these other chapters. Paul knows this is the end of his life. He knows he's been in the hands of the Romans for a long time. And we read from his words that he even thinks that it could be within a few months. As he says, ask Timothy to come to me quickly before the winter. At this time in Paul's life, he understands that it's at the end of his life. But he's ready. He's okay with that. He even writes these words in 2 Timothy chapter 4, almost as if it's an epitaph of his own grave. He writes these words as he's prepared and he's letting others know about how he's ready. Let's read in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. 6 through 8. He's writing to the young evangelist Timothy and he says, "For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. And not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." This morning, I want us to think to ourselves, are you ready? If today was the last day of your life, whether it be an accident in your own backyard, on the street, a health issue, a terrorist attack, the day of judgment, are you ready? Paul, he's very ready, as we read right here. He's almost encouraged that the race is almost done. From time to time, I think we need to look at these things as well. We live such busy lives in this country, and we have so much to do with our jobs and our kids, and we forget to ask ourselves, are we spiritually ready? as we read these words. There's a lot of F words that we could have seen. We said, found the good fight, I finished the race, kept the faith. But I want to look at some words that begin with C this morning. The first one I want to look at is conflict. Verse 7, Paul writes, I have fought the good fight. In other words, there's conflict that's going on here. I tell you this morning, all Christians have conflict in our lives. All of us do. If you don't, I don't know why not. There should be conflict in your life because we are called to be different. We are called not to be of the world, in the world, but not of the world. We're supposed to be different. That means that there could be some sitting here this morning that you have family members that you can no longer be with as much as you used to be because you're a Christian. Maybe you're like me and you have some friends that used to call your best friends, almost like brothers and sisters to you. But if you're like me, I have some friends that I just simply can't be around anymore. And I hate that because I love them like family, but the things that they do are things I can't be around because I'm a Christian. And I know that you all can look at that and reflect on your own lives. That's conflict, but we're called to have conflict. Even Jesus says in John 1, verse 11, it says of Jesus, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. The entire Old Testament is leading to Jesus the Messiah coming. I've never understood this about reading in the New Testament, how the Jewish people, the people that have seen these prophecies their entire life about this Messiah that they're supposed to be so excited about. He's here. Now they want nothing to do with Him. They think He's a liar and a slanderer to their entire religion. Jesus came to His own, those that were waiting for Him. But even they wouldn't receive Him. That's conflict. John chapter 15, 18, Jesus says, If the world hates you, you know that it hated Me before it hated you. You have friends, family, whoever, that you can't really be around. If you have people that just straight up don't like you anymore because of the things you think. If people will point their finger at you and say, you're just wrong and you're closed-minded. Take some comfort that it's not about you that they hate. They hated Jesus before they ever even knew you. There's going to be conflict as a Christian. But Paul fights the good fight. He fights the good fight. Even against conflict. As I said a moment ago, if you're not fighting something as a Christian in your life, I think there's something wrong in your life. If you're a Christian and you don't have some kind of conflict around other people that are not Christians, something is wrong. That tells me that if there is no conflict in your life because of a Christian, you're being a little bit too much like the world. And you need to be more like a Christian, more like Jesus, your Savior. You need to make sure that conflict is a good thing. We're not supposed to be like the world. We're supposed to be like Christ. John 15 and 19, Jesus says, If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world. Therefore the world hates you. We're not supposed to be in the world the same way as we were before we were Christians. If you're a Christian, you need to think to yourself, are you ready for the end of your life? Whether it be maybe by your death, your passing from this life, or the day of judgment, are you ready? Paul was ready. He almost had a peace, didn't he? He had a peace about, I know that the last days are coming, but that's okay with me because I have fought the good fight. So what is the good fight? What is the good fight that he's talking about? Well, it's fighting for God. You ever had some good fights and some bad fights maybe in your life? Maybe at home with your husband or wife. Not that any of us would ever fight with our spouses. But have you ever had a fight that you looked back on and you thought, why were we even fussing about that? That wasn't even a good fight. Why do we even have that? A good fight is fighting worth something. Not just because of a disagreement. A good fight is because you stood for something you believe in. The good fight that we are to fight like Paul did is fighting for God. We're supposed to have conflict in our life. But we're also supposed to look at ourselves and say, are we ready? Are we fighting the good fight? Do we have conflict in our lives? You should. But that's okay because you're supposed to and we're not supposed to be of the world. Are you ready? Are you ready? Do you have conflict this morning? Second thing I see from 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8, as I see Paul talking about the course that he's on. He says, I have finished the race. He seems ready. He seems ready for the end of his life. He says, I have finished the race. This morning I tell you that God calls us to run a marathon, not a sprint. You need to think about every single day in your life as a Christian. It's about finishing. It's about finishing what you start. It's not about waking up today and being the best for God and then tomorrow not being a Christian anymore. We all have our ups and downs, and I certainly do myself as a Christian. Some days you feel a little stronger in the Lord. Some days you feel like your faith is stronger. The most important thing we need to understand is that take your time. Take your time to grow as a Christian. Have you ever, maybe January the 1st, been one of those people that says, I'm going to be a better Christian this year. I'm going to read so many books of the Bible this year. I'm going to read the whole Bible, maybe twice. I'm going to get online and I'm going to listen to every sermon preached here. I'm going to listen to some other sermons from some other church because I love that preacher. I'm going to listen to some, I'm going to read some blogs. I might even start writing some articles. I'm going to do all of these things for God and I'm going to grow as a Christian. Then February comes around and we've already given up doing even one of the things that we started doing. It's not a sprint. Pace yourselves. Pace yourselves as Christians. Continue to grow, but continue to grow over time. It doesn't have to all be done today. Finishing is better than being on fire for the Lord for such a short time. We have a term that we use as Christians when we talk about people and we say, oh, do you know Brother so-and-so? Oh, he is on fire for the Lord. Doing Bible studies. You know, he's converted 3 people just in a month. He's on fire for the Lord. And that's a great thing. But I just encourage you to pace yourselves. As great as it is for some people to be on fire for the Lord, if they don't finish at the end of their life being on fire for the Lord, then it was all for nothing. Finishing the race like Paul did, being ready at the end of this life, is what is more important than just being on fire for the Lord for just a short time. A short time. We have some people in our audience this morning that have not been a Christian for that long. I encourage you to consider the finish line. Consider finishing. It might be a little hard as you're a new Christian and you're just thinking about it right now, but look in the future about finishing the race. If you have not been a Christian for long, I encourage you to think about the finish line. Think about what I can do to make sure that at the end of my life, I'm still a Christian. I'm still a strong Christian. I'm a stronger Christian than I was the day I became a Christian. For those of you who have been Christians for many more years than, say, 5 years, do you have any regrets for your soul? Have there ever been any times where you regret some decisions you've made as a Christian? You have time to change those things. It's a marathon. There's time to change, but we need to change when we need to be ready today. But look at your life, look at your life with Christ and say, am I ready? I need to change some things. You know, the great thing about being a Christian, I look at it like this. It's like every single day is January the 1st. Every single day is the day I can wake up and say, new resolution time. Today is the day I'm going to change. If I've been messing up for the past 2 weeks, I'm a Christian, doesn't matter. I can go to God and ask for encouragement, forgiveness. Today I'm going to change things. If you're not ready, you don't have to wait for another year before you make another resolution. Today is the day. Are you ready? Paul had a peace. Paul was ready for the end of his life. He fought the good fight. He finished the race. We need to finish as well. We need to finish all the way till the end. Become a Christian and finish. Are you ready? Thirdly, this morning, look at the word commitment when I read 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. I see the word commitment from the phrase where he says, I have kept the faith. I have kept the faith. I want us to notice when we see the faith, Paul does not say, I have kept my faith. He says, I have kept the faith. What is the faith? The faith isn't something I just woke up and believed this morning. It wasn't, I think I should do this, I think I should do that. The faith is following the words of the New Testament. The words of the entire Bible. Following the faith that God is your Creator. Jesus Christ is your Savior. That faith. Paul kept the faith all the way till the end. All the way till the end of his life. He knew it was coming. He was ready. He had a peace about him. He was ready. Speaking of the faith, I want to mention this morning that keeping the faith, there's a part of that. There's an action. It's not just something that's going to come naturally. So you know what we need to do to keep the faith? We need to get in the Word of God. Now, I'm not going to say this morning that you just simply need to read your Bible more. I've said that in sermons, and I'm pretty sure you're going to hear that again in other sermons, because we always need to be reading more than we are. But I encourage you this morning to not just get in the Word of God, but apply the words of God. Keeping the faith is an action. That means we're called to be holy. We need to think, am I being holy? Are my actions around other Christians, non-Christians, are they holy? I'm called to be righteous as a Christian. Am I being righteous? Am I cheating anybody at work? Am I cheating friends? Maybe I'm taking a little off the top when I'm selling something. Whatever it is, are we being righteous? We need to look at the Bible, not just read it to know what about the faith is, but we need to apply the things to our daily lives. Such as Jesus calls us to forgive all those that do anything to us. Are we doing that? Look at the examples in the Bible, not just read them, but apply them to your everyday life. Jesus forgave those that hung Him on a cross. Are we forgiving those that do anything against us? We need to be committed to following the faith, applying those things to our lives every day. Applying those things every day, commitment, those things make me think of another word. I think of consistency. Being consistent. Following God consistently on a daily basis. Not just being hot or cold. Not just being hot for the Lord today because I feel blessed. I'm having a good year. I feel like God's blessed me. I'm going to be a good Christian. But maybe next month I'm going to feel like I lost my job and I'm not going to be a very good Christian. I'm not going to be committed because God didn't do anything for me this month. Being committed and being consistent is every single day. No matter if you're happy. No matter if you're sad, no matter what's going on in your daily lives, we need to be consistent. I ask you to think about these in everyday terms with me for just a moment. When we talk about consistency, we could think about things like this. How would our bosses feel towards us in our consistency if our alarm clock only worked maybe 3 or 4 days out of the work week? Would our bosses be very happy with our consistency, our alarm clock's consistency to wake us up on time? No, they wouldn't. What are some other consistencies? Would any of us drive a car? Maybe some do. Would we drive a car that would only start, say, half the time we turned it over? We would either go buy a new car or we would at least try to continue to fix it. Consistency. We wouldn't continue to drive something that may or may not start and get us where we want to be. Would you work for a company that may or may not pay you on payday? They're not very consistent. I mean, they pay me half the time. Would you work for those kind of people? No. You want your alarm clock to be consistent. You want your cars to be consistent. You want to get paid consistently. But when we turn that back around on ourselves, are we being as consistent as we want other people and other things to be to us? I'm not sure that we always are. In our everyday lives, we need to be consistent in our everyday actions to God. If we're so picky and we want everything that we have to be consistent for us, think about how mad you get when something isn't consistent in your life. How mad you get when your car won't start. Think about God. How inconsistent are we as Christians? God has to be mad at us all the time. we wake up one day and we're praising Him and we're acting like a Christian. The next day we're off doing whatever we want and not act like a Christian at all. We must be committed. We must keep the faith. And that's an everyday thing. That's not something we need to turn on and off as we please. Paul showed that he was ready for any day now to be his last day because he was committed. He was committed. He fought the good fight. He kept the faith. He finished the race. He was ready. Are you ready this morning? Are you ready? Are you committed? The way that Paul was. These are just things that we need to think about and be reminded of from time to time. Finally, this morning, I want to talk about a crown. I want to talk about a crown. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. Paul writes, "Finally, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day. Not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing." This morning, I encourage every single one of us in this room to ask ourselves this question. Do we know that a crown is laid up for us in heaven if today was our last day? Or are we allowing conflict to drive a wedge between us and God? Do you know this morning that there is a crown laid up for you in heaven? Or have you completely dropped out of the race for God in your daily life? Do you know that there is a crown of righteousness waiting for you in heaven right now? Or are you having some serious commitment issues with being consistent to God in your everyday lives? When I think about a crown, I think about the Olympics. What other example do we have of some great ceremony of somebody who has done everything and now they're getting their reward? You think about the Olympics, you think about these men or women up on the stage above everybody, everybody's looking at them, the lights are on them, they've done everything to win, they get to kneel down, have the gold placed around their, or the medal placed around their neck. We visually see that. We visually see that that's the case. And I wonder, you know, sometimes when those athletes are up there, they begin to cry. Because they're that happy. They are that happy that they have won that medal, they begin to cry. Why do they begin to cry? Because they've had conflict. They've probably had some people say, "You're not good enough to do this." They've probably had some injuries, some setbacks, but they continued on. Those athletes probably are crying because They've had to finish the race. They've had to start the race somewhere. They had to start practicing, maybe qualifying. Now they've made it to the big show, the big dance. They've made it to their game, and now they have completed it. They've finished the race. And then at the end, we all see that they have kept the faith in their whatever sport it is because of they've won, right? We know they've made it all the way to the end because of their tears and their happiness as they stand up there and receive their reward in front of everybody. Think about those athletes and think about yourself. Think about on the day of judgment, if we have done everything that we're supposed to do, we'll be able to be that person, that happy, with a tear in our eye because we are going to receive the crown of righteousness. But just like those athletes, just like Paul, we have some things to do. We need to overcome conflict. We need to be just like Paul. We need to fight through conflict. We need to be able to stay on the course to heaven. And we need to give our full commitment to God every single day. Paul gave his commitment every single day. The day that he became a Christian was just the beginning. It was a marathon for him. He had conflict, people trying to kill him, throw him out of cities, put him in jail. He continued. He finished the race. He kept the faith. Are you doing the same things? Are you ready if today was the last day of your life? Who then can gain this reward that we're talking about? Certainly everybody in this room wants this reward. Everybody wants to be able to have that crown laid up for them in heaven at the end of this life. So who can receive it? Verse 8 tells us, not to me only, but also to all who have loved His appearing. To all who have loved His appearing. When I think about this in closing this morning, I think about the fact of loving His appearing. I think when I was younger, and what if I did something that wasn't very pleasing to my parents? Did I love seeing my parents come around the corner as I knew I was in trouble? No. Might hide, maybe put some covers over my head, try to do whatever I can to get away from my parents. I didn't love the appearing of my parents because I known I had done something wrong. On the other hand, what happens when you're younger when you've done something good? You've made the A on the test. You've passed the course. You've won something. You made a touchdown. Whatever you did, we can't wait to see our parents. We're like, please, parents, come around the corner. I'm ready to be praised. I'm ready for you to smile at me and hug me and tell me I did a great job. If today was the last day of your life, maybe today something's going to happen. In your own backyard, your own house, you're going to fall. Something's going to happen to you. I don't know. And it's going to hurt you, and today could be the last day on this life because of something at your own home. What about if you have a wreck on the road today? What if a terrorist attack does happen, and this time they attack our very city where we're at? Somebody bombs us, and today is our last day on this earth. What if none of those things happen, but today is the day of judgment? Are you ready? If Jesus came today, would you love His appearing? Would you be excited that Jesus is here in all of His glory? The clouds roll back, a great sound of trumpets come because Jesus is coming to give us our reward. Are you ready to see that scene of Jesus coming in all of His glory? Or are you going to be like the kid who's in trouble and you bow your head because you don't want to see the appearing of Jesus today because you know your reward will not be in heaven? This morning, if you're not ready, I encourage you to get on the race. Be baptized. Allow your sins to be washed away from you. Start running the race for God today. If you're already a Christian and you've been running the race, but now you're off it a little bit, you're off on the side of the road, let us help you. Let us pick you up and put you back on that road. Let us encourage you. Pray to God. Get things right with Him and continue and start your race again today. If we can help you to be ready with God, we ask you to come now as we stand and sing. Won't you come?